going on? And welcome back to A New Sound with me, Morgan Brown. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope everyone is continuing to be safe through the pandemic, through COVID, through the winter, through all this snow. I hope everyone is being safe. I hope everyone is doing well. On the show today, I was joined with the amazing band from California. The band is called Grumpster, and these guys are truly some of the nicest people I've talked to. They're just truly amazing, great musicians. Their work ethic is outstanding, and they're just doing a lot of things right. So I don't want to hold you guys up any more or any longer than I already do, and let's just get into it. This is my interview with the amazing band, Grumpster. Go check them out. Go listen to them. Go support local music. Do what you do best, and thank you so much again for listening. Thank you for coming back every week. I really appreciate it, as always. And here is my interview with the band, Grumpster. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing well.
Hanging in there.
You know, how have you guys all been through the pandemic and everything?
We've been good.
I mean, like, it's obviously a super difficult question and things, but
as good as we can be. I mean, at least like we're still practicing. We've been practicing, which is good because I know some bands like haven't seen each other this entire time.
Yeah.
So I guess in that respect, we're doing well.
Yeah, we're like healthy. We have jobs still. All kind of stuff.
We've been very productive.
So we're fortunately
employed,
but yes. Band-wise, very sad.
I mean, as long as you're happy, healthy, and trying your best in the pandemic, yeah, that's all you can really
Absolutely.
Could want right now. Yeah. But no, I wanted to get into this. So I heard about their band from my friend Alyssa.
Yes,
who, Alyssa Jackson. Yeah. So shout out to Alyssa because she's obviously a big fan of the pod and told me to interview you guys.
Love that.
So how did the whole band come together? Because, I'm sorry, who's from Massachusetts?
Me.
Awesome. Cool. Now, how did the whole, so did you move to California and meet the rest of these guys? Also, if everyone would just say their name, that'd be sick. And also, pronouns is tight too. So.
Okay. I'm Fallon. They, them.
Noel, he, him.
And then Lalo,
he, him. Awesome. Cool, okay. Cool.
Intro's done.
The intro's all set up. So now, are you guys all from around the country? Did you guys all meet in California?
We're from the Bay.
Okay, cool.
And Fallon moved here from Massachusetts.
Yes.
And we met in 2016. Like November 2016, I think.
Right, because when did the first single come out? And when, like, what was the process of, like, meeting each other and then kind of starting the whole band?
So I moved here in July of 2016. And then I started working at Guitar Center, where them two had previously worked together, and then I missed Noel by like
a week, maybe maximum a month.
So him and Lalo had like briefly talked about doing something together with music, and then I got hired there. Lalo and I like saw each other, and we were like, "Who's that?" So then
yeah, we clicked like right away.
Yeah, right away. So then we started bonding over music and like bands that we liked, and then we're like, "Oh, let's get together and like see if we can write some songs. We'll show each other like demos we had made." And a few of the songs that like I had written separately and Lalo had written separately were like the same song. And we're like, that's really weird. So we decided that was a thing. And then Lalo asked Noel if he still wanted to do something. Noel said yes. And then here we are. But our first actual release was July of 2017.
Yeah, pretty quick.
July 15th, 2017.
Too quick. Yeah, we recorded this EP. Like Noel, like
I was still learning the songs. Yeah, we were checking them, and I was like, I think that's how it goes. I don't know,
dude. But we were like, we have a band. We need to start releasing stuff like right now. So that was a disaster.
Word. I mean, and I think like in the early beginnings of that stuff, when you're trying to craft songs and like write an EP, obviously you're doing it all yourself. Because I definitely want to talk about there's such I feel like a stigma between being in a band, working on it, and then eventually actually getting signed, and like seeing the progress of your band specifically, see that evolution that not many other bands can like really get a chance to like actually talk about.
Yeah,
like really important.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very down to talk about that.
So when you had, so you put out the first EP, and then you had some singles and things.
After
YouTube, which I think you can only find on like YouTube now.
Yeah.
We took it off Spotify just because until we had, I think we didn't even have the full length out yet.
Yeah.
It was like, so we only had like Funeral Tunes and Cutting Ties.
And because we put out Kairos as the single.
Yeah. And we were kind of like, we just feel like it didn't represent us properly. Yeah. So we took our old stuff off until we had the album. And then I don't think we'll put it back up, but like.
Yeah. Because it was just one of those things that we were like, if someone, whether it's a label or whether it's just like anyone in general, goes to look up Grumpster, we were like, that's not really like a work that we're proud of.
Yeah, because it's something like, we cranked out in like 4 months of all three of us playing together, which is just not enough time.
To
no, that totally makes sense.
Especially because like if you asked us to write songs and record songs starting today and in 4 months, sure, we will do it because we have that chemistry together, but we did not have
no time. Time.
Exactly.
There was like a little something there, you know, but it was very fresh and like new and developed.
Now, when you guys were putting out the EP, was there like a lot of touring going on as well? Was it like just kind of cranking out shows?
The first EP?
Yeah. Like after that, you guys all kind of, after you guys all finally like kind of clicked.
Okay.
Local shows.
Like every weekend.
There was 1 month I remember where, because we went through this period of time where we would say yes to everything. Like,
Which you have to. I think that's the biggest piece of advice.
You have like, to play out as much as you can. Yeah. But I remember, I think it was like March, that like following March.
I think so.
We had like 2 or 3 shows a week, maybe even 3 shows. Do you remember that? It was like, it was Thursday, it was Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, like Monday, Tuesday, Saturday. It's like, oh my God.
I mean, I'm sure right now you're wishing you had that.
Honestly,
I was even saying, I was like, man, what I wouldn't give to play like a 6 p.m. show on a Wednesday
with like
night.
A person there.
I was talking to people. It was like, yeah, I would give anything to like go to a show and like buy an overpriced vodka crayon so badly.
Dude, I would spend $50 on a cocktail right now. Like, I don't care.
So in that whole process, obviously you guys are bonding and like you're kind of like you had that EP, you're bonding, you're doing shows. Where was it going from there? Was it like a lot more songwriting or were you guys really focused on the actual like touring stuff?
I would say like, well, so the first EP obviously happened like very fast just because we wanted to put something out. And then cutting.
Some people Google our name, something comes up.
Something comes up.
Versus just like.
Right.
Nothing out there.
So then Cutting Ties, which was our second EP, was kind of one of those things where like we had written 4 or 5 new songs and like there wasn't really a plan. And then we were just like, should we go record this?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, because we were talking about an album.
Right. And oh God, can you imagine?
And we had 4 songs and we were like, oh, let's just fucking record these, put it out. And then work on an album after that. And we were like, oh, crazy idea.
Being smart. Yeah, with the full length was like, that was on purpose. You know, the EP, Cutting Ties, that came before that was just like, we have these songs, let's kind of like get a snapshot of like where we're at, record it, and like see if people like it.
Yeah.
But the album was like the only planned out one up to that point.
Yeah.
Really. Gotcha. So you're kind of working towards that whole process. You're doing shows, you're bonding and writing songs.
Yeah.
Now you put out that EP and then what happens after that? Like, what was the next evolution? And like, cause it makes, I mean, relatively it seems, and I mean, again, I think that there's a whole disconnect between social media and people and actually understanding the, like, cause I think there's a huge, like I've talked to people and they're like, yeah, man, like Weezer got signed after their second show. When's my shot?
Right.
There's such a disconnect between that. Because, I mean, if looking on the Spotify, it's like, oh, you have an EP and now you're signed and you're rock stars and you're all super rich, I assume.
We are rolling.
Rolling in dough.
We just bought our third house together.
Great. Awesome. Well, you need a house in the Bay. You need a house in Malibu. I get it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
We have houses everywhere.
We put out the EP and then it was only on cassette. It was a very, like, we didn't put much into it. And we had, like, a little mini tour for, like, a week with our friends in Sarcasm.
Uh-huh.
And then,
And it was at, or keep going.
And then a friend of ours was working with Mike Park. And then,
Mike like, in like, the oh, garage, yeah, packing records
yeah, Mike
and stuff.
Was
yeah.
like, oh, do you have any bands that, are, like, you know, that are coming up right now? And he gave him our cassette, or they played at the garage or something like that. So that's how Mike learned about us and then started making calls to, like, Gilman Folk being like, hey, like,
yeah,
what's up with Grumpster? Like,
yeah, and that's what was funny because it's like, yeah, it was the EP, and then that's when Asian Man got interested, but he never approached us directly. It's like everybody but us knew that he was interested. because it was all of our friends, and they're like, Mike reached out and was like asking about Grumpster, and like,
of, like, oh, Mike talked to us. Mike talked
to us. Everybody knew that he was interested in signing Grumpster except for us, because he wouldn't talk to us. He
is
never...
Is that like anxiety inducing in that way, or is it like an eager thing?
Because like you hear that he's interested and like is thinking about signing us, but
and it's this label that we
all all love, that we've always looked up to, like we've always like looked up to the bands.
I mean, they're a huge staple. Even when I like after Alyssa told me to check out your band, I saw Asian Man Records. I was like, oh, this is super sick.
Exactly.
I mean, friends can tell you all they want, like, oh, check out my friend's band and stuff. But I was legitimately like, oh, this is like a real band. Like, you guys are doing great.
Yeah, because like people know Asian Man, and so it was like, we knew there was this, yeah, we're both wearing our Asian Man hoodies, but it's like, we knew something was going on, but every day it's like, is he going to call us today? Does he still want to sign us? Did he lose interest? Because from when we first heard that he was interested to even after the record was done, we still didn't know he wanted to sign. We'll get into that later. But it was like, we just never knew what was going on, but there was always something being like, he's thinking about it. He's thinking about it. But he wouldn't talk to us.
We just put that out basically, and then the guy that I knew that was working with Mike was like, oh, he wants to know if you guys have an album coming. And it's like, we literally just put this out, like, not really.
Yeah.
Like, kind of. Like,
right, so we're like,
we have
we blow
a few
it?
Songs that we saved to put towards the album. It's something that we're working on, but it's probably not going to come out for like a year, you know? Yeah. So it was very much like, yes and no, you know?
Yeah.
So I was kind of sad. I was like, I don't know, what if the timing was off and we just like, we missed that window.
Right. And then, you know, it's like, we caught wind that he had like signed a few other bands like from our scene. And so we were okay, well, there goes our spot. Like, great.
Now, what was the scene that you guys were playing in a lot? Was it like a lot of like Gilman Street, like Bay Area stuff?
Oh, yeah.
That was it, basically.
Which Gilman.
Well, because I was living at a punk house for a while where they were doing shows. So like we pretty much, anytime they needed a band to fill in, we were playing. So just meeting a lot of bands in the area through that, and like touring bands would come down a lot.
Yeah, and they would like stay there.
Right. We had like an extra room that people would stay in. So it was just a lot of a lot of playing DIY shows and networking there.
Tons.
Kind of
And yeah, we got a lot, you know, like looking back at it now, because I don't think about stuff very much, but people would always come to me like, you're really good. And I'm like,
what? What are you talking about?
Like, oh, thanks. Like, I don't know. Because you think people are just being nice, you know? But, like,
yeah.
We did. We would get a lot of people who would come into town and be like, damn, you guys are sick. Like,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. Come to my town. And I was like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Because it, when it's going on, you feel like people are just being like, good job, bud.
Like a band memes thing.
I always talk about like there's always the one impression that you can do where it's like man sitting outside venue smoking cigarette being like, oh, sick set, and you're like, you didn't see a single
song. You smoking five cigarettes outside.
And that's what it feels like at the end of your, you know, youth soccer game, you're like, good game that's what we thought it was. We're like, oh, they're just saying good set.
There was also people that was a little different. They were like, their tone was very like eager and like, like serious. They're like, no, like you're like, you guys are really good. I like your music a lot. And I was like, oh, thanks. And I think that gave us confidence to, like, you know, keep making music and keep trying to like not slow down whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, so then that's actually very interesting, because obviously you two are from the Bay Area. This is something that you guys are new to, Fallon, coming from Massachusetts, did you feel like an outsider in any way? You're like, how am I even in California playing at a venue that I've heard only mythic stories about my whole life, because Green Day and Jawbreaker and all that stuff?
Like, kind of, but also not really. It's something that I, like, always wanted to do, probably since I was, like, I got into, like, punk music when I was probably 12. So it's, like, something I was always, like, reading about, always looking into. And also, like, I feel like a lot of people in Massachusetts are mean, and I'm, like, not really mean. So when I moved out here, I was, like, well, this is, like, the scene that I've been reading about. It was and still is like kind of surreal at times to be like, oh, I'm like out here doing this. That's really cool. But I never felt left out or like different, you know? And also the scene very out inclusive. Here is super inclusive.
Yeah, I think it's like more, it's a testament to the scene that we are.
Yeah, nobody's like, here, oh, where are you from? They're like, oh, you're here. Let's be
like,
friends.
Play again.
Exactly.
Like, do you want to play next week? And that's kind of how it worked, honestly. Like,
yes.
Honestly,
that's how we got our initial start was I worked with a buddy of ours, Mateo, in Sarcasm. And I worked with him at REI, and I wasn't in a band. I wanted to be in a band, and he knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, the second you have something, tell me, and I'll book you at Gilman. And I was like, oh, cool. So that was always, like, ready. You know, that was always there. That was always something that was going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
And it just, things kind of
snowballed.
Like fell in line, and then we were able to play a show, and people liked it, so we just kept playing and kept playing and kept playing.
Our first show was Gilman.
Yeah.
I mean, if people, I mean, it's one thing to say, like, it's who you know, and it's the friends you meet along the way and things, but that is, like, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in
yeah.
hindsight, like, there is a weird, surreal thing after, my first show was at Gilman Street. That's sick.
I know. Yeah, it's very straight. Like, I feel like everything about how it came to be is, like, everything fell in line, and, like, so much could have and should have gone wrong.
Yeah.
You know, in the process of getting here, and it's like it somehow didn't.
It's too smooth.
It's too smooth. Yeah. It's too smooth.
Even like the fact that you're saying like your first show was at Gilman. Like I grew up in Boston, like the like South Shore area, and like my first like the Middle East upstairs is not that. You know what I mean?
Oh, I've been there. I know.
It's just such a completely different environment. I think that there's a lot to what you're saying as well, with just the different type of people, and like all these other. Like little scenes and pockets are the people who like actually grow you as a band. Because once you're playing with really good bands, you just get really good.
Yeah.
And like surround yourself with the right people.
Always motivation for sure.
Yeah. And that's some of that too. I mean, there's so many bands here.
So many bands.
You have to get better. You just have to.
Yeah. Or
you have to roll to your, just nothing's going to happen.
And it's also like, yeah, but it's also not in a, not like in a competitive way, you know, it's like you see other bands killing it and you're like, man, they're sick.
I want to
do that too. You know, it's not like I got to be better than or like as good as or better than. It's just like that looks awesome and they look like they're having a great time. I want to be on that level too, you know,
so hard to get there.
Yes.
So who were the other bands that you were like surrounding yourself in that scene with? You said you mentioned Sarcasm earlier. What were like, and you said you were living at a punk house. What was that environment like? Because I feel that's its own podcast episode alone.
Yeah. It was fun. It was dirty.
Very dirty.
Lots of bands. House full of boys. Mold in the sink.
And I'm like a clean freak. So it.
You didn't clean there though.
I know. Well, because it was too you're far really, gone. It was really FUBAR, you know? I was like,
I missed that.
No, so our two roommates were, they played in Slumped. And also, they were in a band previously called Forget It. Our next door neighbors were a band called Rex Means King, which are kind of more like a proggy math rock
now hardcore Father band.
Father Grimm, is like a spin-off project.
Dirty Boys.
Roses.
Yeah.
Like Roses.
They play in the second door, yeah.
Yeah, there's them.
There's like a little like mini apartment complex with maybe what, 8 units or something like that?
I think 10.
10.
Yeah.
10, and they were all
musicians.
Like, see, this sounds like a sitcom. Like, this sounds like it's either a sitcom on NBC or it's a really dirty HBO show.
Right.
Yeah.
We definitely could have made some kind of episode from that.
Oh, it was fun.
Very cool. Yeah,
I was practicing like a 30 rack of Budweiser.
Well, Lalo used to work at a brewery, and one time we were throwing a show there, and he showed up with a full keg.
Well, that was the last show.
The last show. It was like this like fest, and it was just bands for like 10 hours straight. It was like every band that's ever played there. I think
it was nuts.
We tried.
Oh, you guys are making me miss the real world so much.
Right? You're telling us.
I'm so depressed.
Like, everyone was like going crazy.
The keg got emptied so fast.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I remember one show, I walked into the like living room, which is like where people come in, and I was just like, everybody tell me your social security number, and people started, they were just like 192. I was like, what's wrong with you people? Like everyone is screaming at us. Like,
it was a great time. It was a great era. And I mean, honestly, that is kind of where we cut our teeth, you know, for sure.
Really, like, yeah. I mean, it just sounds like the most like out. Yeah. It seems like the most supportive group. And if you're constantly surrounded by a billion musicians and bands, it must have like really grown. Like that probably was why it was easy to play shows and constantly be like at least honing it before the full length came out. So
exactly.
Now we're up now. So Mike from Asian Man is still saying, okay, we're maybe not. What's the deal? Yep. When did you actually like officially get the call, and how were you guys freaking out?
Well, okay, it's funny. I love the story. It's so funny. So okay, so we it was Aaron from Lauren Records. Okay, so what happened was we went up to the studio where we made our second EP and we did some demos because we heard Mike was interested. I think our friend was like, send Mike your demos when you record them.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. So we record the demos.
What demos did we do? Was it?
It was Lust and Tunnel Vision.
Maybe Crumbling, because Crumbling was the first song we had.
We never did that with Pat. So we sent the demos to Mike and just like never got a response. So we were like, okay, it's over. Like, whatever.
He hates them.
Yeah, he hates them, whatever. We never hear anything. So then this guy, Aaron, reaches out to us from Lauren Records, which is kind of like a little brother label to Asia Man.
Lauren Records is great. Right, I went to their fest last year.
Okay. Hell yeah. So Aaron reaches out to us and is like, you guys should totally record at District Recording. Like Mike helps run it. It's like Asia Man, whatever. Okay. So he gets us in contact with Mike. So now we're all finally talking to Mike. Yeah. He doesn't really like say anything about the band. He just,
it's just booking. It's like it's very just booking. Like strictly booking time at the studio.
He's like, what days do you guys want? Whatever.
He was super solid about it. He wasn't trying to be like, record here and sign it. You know, exactly. he was like, just see what happens. You know,
yeah.
Just, like,
totally. Like, these are the rates. If it if works you for you, anything, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talk, yeah.
If you want to do something else, that's fine. Totally. It's just like, he wanted to get us in touch with the right people, which is really nice.
So, Aaron, you're talking about Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron. Not Mike. Mike did not say if you want to sign.
No.
So Mike helps us book the time. Awesome. So we record the record, whatever, we're there for a week is awesome. And so finally we email Mike and we're like, Mike, here's the record. It's done. It's mixed. It's mastered. Ready to go. Here you go. So we send it to him and he just goes, sounds good.
And that's the worst response you could possibly have to like a band full of like bright eyes, like just
pure. Exactly. Yeah. And so like, I just remember, I was like, okay, Mike said, sounds good. Like, so we're like, all right.
That's so crazy.
I know. So we got a few other offers. Like we're thinking about that. And then we emailed Mike and we were like, so do you want to put it out or like, should we go elsewhere? And then he was like, oh my God, like I would be honored. Like, are you sure you want to release with me? And we were like, what are you talking?
I don't know if I can really help you or not.
Yeah. He was like, I don't know if I can even really help you guys.
I know. He's like, you should like submit to other labels. Like, I don't know. You might be like, I don't know.
He said, I don't want to like hold you back.
I don't want to hold you back. By like signing to Aidman.
For one of the most like historic labels.
I know. So we were like, no, dude, like we love Asia Man. We have for a long time. Like this is 100% what we want to do. Like, are you down? And he was like, oh yeah, totally. And then
bada bing, bada boom.
And then here we are.
Oh, that's so insane.
When he said sounds good, I was like.
And that was it.
Yeah, and it was just like, sounds good, period. Like
that's the worst. That's literally the worst feeling you could have.
There's no structure to the email. It just said, sounds good.
Mike Park.
Sounds good. Peace, Mike Park. Yeah. It's like, okay, great, dude.
I was like, because it's like, we sent you the demos, you don't respond. We send you the album, you just say, sounds good. And so I was like, he hates us.
That sounds like a, like things are trying.
Exactly. Like participation trophy.
Sounds good.
But no, that's not what he meant.
And now, so what was that whole feeling like? Because I mean, relatively, well, sorry, when did you guys actually, like, when did this whole conversation happen? Like,
May of
29?
When were we recorded?
2019.
Oh, yeah, because it came out in
November. Yeah. So May 2019.
Well, was it, wow. I mean, I hate to even, like, ask this question. Was it nerve-wracking to be like, oh, now we did the thing. Now what do we do? Or was it just like, all like full push the whole time.
Not for us. Yeah, we were like, push. go. Yeah.
That's
we
like, so next. Awesome.
Like, yeah. What's next? Exactly. Because we're like, oh shit, we're signing with Asia Man. Like, what's going to happen because of that? What's going to happen after that? And like, what can we do to ensure that more happens after this?
Yeah. Right.
I feel like the only time we really get super nervous is like right before we play.
Like
a gnarly, like crazy show. And we're like, oh Jesus. Oh no.
Well, because I feel like there's such a, I know so many people who have like had a record deal and then like felt like some kind of weird pressure or like anxiety about it, and they were just like, and then it like fell through, and it's just like it's such a crazy game that like it's constantly being played. So I'm happy to hear that it was just full tilt, because I know so many other people would be like, we've been a band for 2 years,
it is kind of scary like thinking about how young we are like with all this happening as a band, but it's also like it's really cool.
No, but that's great. You want to
Yeah,
go off the jet stream. Just keep going, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we try, at least me personally, I can't speak for these two really, but I think we try to be like not get too farsighted, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of like, all right, this is what we need to do next.
This is what we're doing.
Like, let's just make sure that's solid and keep going from there, you know? Yeah. And I mean, obviously there are like hopes and dreams and like
aspirations,
but I don't think, at least again, speaking for myself, like I try not to get like caught up like living the head too much, you know, because yeah, it's like, well, this is the opportunity we have. And
yeah.
And then the album. So then what was like going to the studio after recording demos, and now you're actually like recording the record, and you're, it's all pressed. It's all, your guys are good. It's getting put out. And then 2020 happens.
Well, there's a big, very sad missing detail.
Oh, keep going. In that timeline. No, please. What's the sad missing detail? I'm sorry. I don't want to bring up anything too sad.
No, I don't know.
So we put the record out. Yeah. So the record had been out. And then one day. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the record wasn't out yet.
After Crumbling came out.
First single was out.
Yeah.
And so one day, I get a call, and it, like, Noel was like, we have to get on the phone, like, right. And I was like, out of town. Noel was like,
he's calling both of us.
He's like, get on the phone. I was like, my dog got hit by a car. Like, something really fucking bad happened. So I pick up the phone. We're like, what's going on, dude? He was like, oh, like, I just opened our email and we got a full US tour.
Said it was a show.
Oh, a show. He thought it was a show. Yeah. He's like, we got offered a show with Anti-Flag. And we were like, oh my God, that's like really crazy.
Yeah. He goes, wait, it's a tour.
He's like, wait, it's a tour. We were like, what? So he opens the email and it's like, it's a tour offer for a full US with Anti-Flag.
North American
tour.
To Canada.
Full month long, up to Canada.
Oh, I'm like, the itinerary's all there, all the dates.
The itinerary was there, all the dates, and they were just like yay or nay.
If it sounds good, let us know. And we're like, yeah, dude, let's fucking do it.
And right.
We didn't even put out an album yet.
We hadn't put the record out yet.
Wow.
Only two singles were out. Yeah. And like, Anti-Flag is like one of Noel's favorite bands. Like, I really like them. Lala really likes them. One of their records is one of the ones that I told our engineer, like, the way it was mixed and mastered and stuff, I was like, I want our record to sound like that.
So dream label, dream tour.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hello?
Exactly.
So we get the offer.
That's so awesome.
Right. Like, before the record's even out. So we're like, of course we're down. Yeah. So we said yes to that. And so then there's a radius clause. So we couldn't play any shows from, like, technically the offer, but they let us play some other shows until the tour, which was in May. So September to May, technically we weren't supposed to play. So we're waiting. It's been September, October, November, December, January, February.
We had our release show. We had
the two Lagwagon shows.
Two Lagwagon shows and a show opening for the Paranoids was like all we paid, all we played.
Yeah. Right. So we have that.
Yeah.
Three shows, whatever. It's been months. We're waiting. And then the pandemic hits.
Oh my God.
Our tour was in May. And so the first leg of the tour, which is in March, gets postponed. And then I was like, COVID's going to be over by May.
Weren't we all so silly back then?
It's just two weeks.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I was like, whatever. It's fine. So then we get the email and they're like, hey guys, like, we hate to inform you, the tour has been pushed to September of 2020. And so we're like, that sucks, but it's fine. So then it's like a few months later and they're like, how about May 2021? And we're like, okay, and now we're here, and that's probably gonna get
it's probably gonna be hopefully fall.
I think so.
Hopefully fall. Yeah.
But the fact that you can still say that you do have your dream tour coming up.
Exactly.
Absolutely. It's coming, yeah. Absolutely.
And
100%.
I'm really, and all three of us agree, like, we're very grateful because a lot of big bands that had tours booked straight up canceled, and they're like, we'll rebook it when the time comes, whereas with Anti-Flag, they just keep postponing it. So it's locked in. And also the bass player is producing our new album. So we're in talks with him all the time.
Yeah, so there's a good relationship there now.
Yeah. So there's a very solid relationship.
Well, then isn't that a weird, like, crazy wave where you're, I want my record to sound like this. And now you're touring and then also working with the band that you like as well.
Yeah, it's great. And it's funny too, because like he was like, hey, or I think Mike Park was like, hey, Chris from Anti-Flag emailed me and asked if he could produce your album. And
no,
I said
no. It was
no.
Before that, we were doing a live stream.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris commented, let me produce your record.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I thought he was kidding. Because he's like, let me produce.
See it on the comments and we're like, what?
We're like, what are you talking about? And then Mike told us that he emailed Mike and was like, can I produce Crumster's next record? And Mike was like, no. I was like, what?
In classic Mike fashion.
Yeah. Joking, but... Right, so then we hit
just no, period.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Very dry. He's very dry, guys.
So then we hit up Chris and we're like, are you kidding? Or do you actually want to? And he was like, no.
Let's do it. Yeah.
So now are you have you been writing songs through COVID, like for that next record and like perfecting that? Oh, that's great.
We're like 80% done with the writing.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Well, at least, I mean, not going to say that COVID has probably been good, but at least to be able to prep for your dream tour and work on your next record has been probably nice. Obviously missing shows is a mental cartwheel in itself. But at the same time, at least you are one of the few bands that at least I've seen that has been super productive, at least from what it seems, if 80% of it's like at least kind of coming together.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. And he's heard the whole thing and it's basically just kind of touching up loose ends. We just wrote another song to throw into it. So we're, you know, getting close.
Yeah. I mean, we had to channel that excitement somewhere, you know, like you said, we had a dream tour. It's like, we're not just going to
let it fall on the wayside.
Yeah,
just be like, oh, there's like COVID, like let's just chill, let's just be normal dudes, like
no, that's not how songwriting and being in a band works, unfortunately. Sometimes I wish I could turn it off myself, but it's just, it's a reality.
Right.
You guys are not gonna be normal ever.
Exactly.
Oh my god. So then you do have the tour coming up eventually. You have the new record coming out. After tour? Nice. You guys are killing.
We have a strategy.
We hope at the same time.
Where we're gonna try to like release the record and then go on tour immediately. So
that's
like
really good. Push everything.
That'd be sick.
So ideally
in an ideal world.
Ideally record the record, sit on it, and then the second
that the tour
you go on a tour, just release it like right away.
I didn't know
that's
about
amazing.
That.
I don't know.
Hey, I'm just the drummer.
Classic drummer
emails.
Move.
Yeah, I answer emails and I play drums. That's about it.
Yeah, me and my found about 1,000 decisions a week.
Yeah, not COVID. Yeah. Lala and I share a brain cell.
Yeah.
So
just gotcha.
All one single cell.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We make the decisions here.
Jeez. Well, I mean, honestly, that is really incredible. Again, dream label, dream tour coming up, new record on the books.
Yeah.
Things are really coming together for you guys. Yeah, and that's awesome. Well, you have obviously fans from all over if I'm reaching out from New York.
Yes.
So hopefully on the US tour, I would love to obviously come see you guys. And anyone listening, please go support this band because, dude, they just fucking rock.
Thank you.
And that's not just a pat on the back smoking a cigarette after not seeing your set. That's like genuinely saying I listen to all your songs. That's me genuinely saying that I support you guys and you guys are killing it.
Appreciate it.
No, but I really appreciate you guys coming on. I really appreciate talking about some of this stuff. And
thank you for reaching out.
Absolutely. Shout out Alyssa Jackson for showing
shout
me
out Alyssa
as well.
Jackson.
Dang, dang.
Oh my gosh. Well, seriously, thank you guys so much again for coming on. I really appreciate it, and I'll catch you later.
Oh yeah, thank you.